Hi, everybody. I want to say that we've got quite a stir in the studio now, and I want to introduce a couple of new people. And my guest this hour is Chloe Lee and Cerise. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And they'll be chatting with us. And I have some music, and we have people talking still in the background that I wish would go to the other part of the studio right now. Okay, anyway. So I have this piece of music I'm going to play right now. Cerise is still attending the Slug at University. So you are a producer. I mean, you've made a lot of movies. You've made some films and you've done some videos, and you're an artist. And right now you're working in art. I'm not sure exactly where you're working, but you don't have to say where.
I guess explore different opportunities. So right now I'm a video correspondent with the Santa Cruz Sentinel, and every once in a while when a local event comes up, I go out for a day. You know, the county fair was my latest one, and I go out and just in about a minute or two film a kind of a montage of the day and what I see. And then I'm also trying to get my art out there and put it in exhibits. I guess an upcoming one is I just got into a San Francisco exhibit on 111 MENA, and my film Dream Machine is going to be shown, and an installation that I made called Live Interview. And then I'm trying to also do editing wedding videos right now. So it's really just, you know, any opportunity I can get, any different experience I'm getting, I'm trying that out.
Do you like the editing and technical aspect as much as scripting and the artistic viewpoint of the movies that you're doing? Or what's your preference, and is it just all part of it?
I mean, it's hard to say. I definitely like the creative side more. I guess if I was actually there to shoot the film, then I definitely enjoy the editing process a lot more, rather than getting the footage from somewhere else and have the idea given to me and say, hey, create this idea we have. But either way, I like the technical aspects.
Do you think there is a lot of more work in the technical aspects, or more ready to be hired kind of work, as far as that goes?
Definitely the technical part, just creating someone else's idea. It's hard to, you know, get the funding and be able to have, you know, credibility to say, hey, my idea is good, you should give me money to make this. Versus, you know, there's a lot of outlets for being able to edit or just getting your hands onto a camera with, you know, I'm doing wedding videos, but there's instructional videos, there's commercials, there's, you know, there's so many different things you can go and do with those skills.
Both of you are UCSC business major graduate people, aren't you? What does that have to say? What does the university have to tell you about getting work?
Oh, stay in college. No, I'm serious. That's their advice. Stay in college. Go to grad school.
Go to grad school.
Yeah. Spend another 3 more years. Wait for the economy to, you know, bounce back. This is the, the jobless recovery?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerks.
It's easy. You can get loans now, so stay in there. It's like a safety net, kind of.
Go to college and take on more debt.
Right. It's the American way.
Yeah.
I think I've learned now, buy local. That's really, you know, take out debts, buy local. Way to go.
Make debt, not local debt. No, I don't know. Make yourself just in the community more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Spend.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I took, you know, all those years of business, and I wouldn't, like, some people really like it. I like it, and then I think it's always practical. Like, even if I'm not going to go that way, I think, you know, for my personal finances, like, that's always going to be useful. Or art, like, you know, having that background will help me move forward too. So using that major with anything else, I think, is always a good choice.
For decision making, for just being ready to work, or you have the skills that more people want, and because it's just the way it is in the world.
Okay. All of them, I guess. I think you could apply some of the just like calculating out your, just like little things like day to day. I'm not sure.
Well, I think it's very amusing because this week is fresh. Well, last week was freshman move-in week. So, you know, everywhere you drive in Santa Cruz, you're like, freshman! You kind of want to roll down your window and shout at them. And they're all here to get an education. But now that I've been to college, education's a joke. I spent 4 years, like, hanging out, reading kind of what I was supposed to do. Like, I'm not any more learned than I was when I started this process. It's sort of the sad truth.
It's all about the degree, though. Now you're more employable.
Well, that's why, you know, econ isn't my passion, but the truth is I do find it very interesting. And, you know, it's the degree when people see it, they're like, oh, you did something at college. You didn't just drink. Oh, you went to UCSC. Maybe. So, I don't know.
I think I feel like I gained a lot, but it's not necessarily from the classes themselves. It was like the people that they led me to meet. And
that's half of it. You make contacts that'll help you later in business. As they move, get jobs, they'll tell you about jobs.
I mean, not necessarily even that. Like, I met people that shared similar passions as me, and those became my closest friends, you know? So I think I gained a lot just from meeting those few people. Like, I felt it was worth it.
I feel like what I've learned at college isn't book learning. Like, I couldn't tell you.
Right.
I've taken an entire class on Tokugawa Japan, and I could tell you, like, 5 key facts. But clearly what I learned was I grew up, and I'm a great paper writer. I can write you a damn good I can swear, yes! Free radio. Tight.
Say whatever the fuck you want.
Jeez.
But yeah, I can write so much better. But at the end of the day, that's what I got out of it. I've learned about myself. I read an article in Bloomberg's Business Week the other day, and he said, this guy was saying, you know, it's $200,000 to put my kid through an Ivy League education. Might as well give him a business and let him learn the hard way. I think that would have been, you know, something you're passionate about, $200,000. Imagine the film you could have made if you had the technical skills. Film is something where you need technical skills.
That's true. I mean, I think most of the skills I gained, it was from sitting down and given this task, having this time deadline, and I don't know, like, I want to say that I would be able to be like, man, I could have finished that film in that three, I probably wouldn't have done it unless, like, I had that pressure of finishing it for that class, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that really helped me with getting things done and keep moving forward.
So, how do you feel about deadlines? Are you like,
I like deadlines whizzing by. I work well with them. I work in advance to anticipate them.
I get my work done by deadlines. They really help me because I feel like I do get my best work done. Like, right up to that button, I, like, feel a lot of adrenaline going, and that's when I really am the most productive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, countdown to the finish line, and you know what you need to do by then, and it helps you accomplish more or as much as you thought you were.
What's the adult equivalent of the all-nighter? Do you guys do that? Are you over that? Never again?
Oh, yeah. Campouts, bed-ins,
Travel parties. Now people try to stay up all night because if they sleep after 11 outside, they'll get a ticket.
I don't know.
Speaking of politics, didn't they just jack the price last year for the college up there? How do you feel about that? It's like a third more or something?
Oh, yeah, you are all part of
it. I'm really glad that I'm done by this summer.
A salt a slug, literally. Salt in the wounds.
Yeah.
One more whole year, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've got a quarter. Two quarters. But
still.
It's tough. And, you know, somehow they've managed to bring in 500 new people on top of the, like, you know, 4,000, or they accepted 3,000, so that's 500 more than we had last year. They're having such a problem with enrollment because they're always accepting too many people at UCSC.
Is that the funny reason why they need to expand their campus?
But they don't want to provide housing for them.
No. UCSC has actually made a deal with the city that they're going to provide excess housing. So, for example, when I was a freshman, there was a room not even just about this size, maybe a little smaller. It was supposed to fit two people, and they put three people in it.
Oh, man.
And then they did it to, I think, half the doubles in the house I was in, because they have to provide housing in order to combat the problems they're having with water supply issues in Santa Cruz County.
Mm. They charge a lot for that, too, up there, right?
Oh, yeah. It's, what, $700 for a room?
Yeah. Were you on campus? I actually made a documentary about that. I guess it was your freshman year. Okay. I went around. I was a sophomore interviewing freshmen because that's when the big housing changes started. And I remember like, the lounges that I used to hang out in, and I was like, what happened here? And I went in, and there were, you know, four people in there, three, four. I can't remember now. They added one
the
next
year. They made
them
triples. They made the lounges triples, and then the year after, they made them for four people.
That's right. Yeah, and I went in to talk to, and I remember, like, the couch setup that used to be there, and the open spaces that people got to hang out in, and then all of a sudden it was...
Well, if you had a lofted bed, and you put a, you know, like a blanket around it, and you got a fan, you could still smoke in your room. It was cool.
I remember...
Casual.
You still smoke in here.
Oh. I had an apartment freshman year. I had an apartment freshman year, and I think that, because I shared a room, it was a double, and by the next year it had been a triple, and it was this size.
Way.
Or a little bit smaller even, and you had the top bunk, and so you didn't want to...
Do you have higher ceilings?
No.
Top bunk. I actually, my housemate would sleep through her alarm every day. Truck-style alarm, like, boop, boop, boop. And I was in the loft, so I couldn't sit up the whole way and, like, turn and throw at her. So I got tennis balls. I'd store them up on top of my dresser. And I'd sidearm them and just whack her till she woke up. It took about four balls. The first two were a little errant.
Wow.
That's got to affect your ability to study, too, that many people in a room, right?
Come on, man. Who studies freshman year? Like, now as a senior, I feel so terrible because I have learned to study. Like, I can study now. But I didn't know how to do that freshman year, and that limited my abilities because had I studied freshman year like I do now, I'd have a chemistry degree.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it took me a couple of years, actually. And the classes allowed for that, too. It was, you could I didn't even study freshman year, and I could just get by. It was like B's and A's.
Well, that's what you did in high school, right?
I actually thought that some of the high school classes were pretty challenging. I took, I decided senior year that I was going to take all these AP classes, and I stacked up all the work, and It actually was harder, I thought, than freshman year in college. I came in and just kind of breezed on by.
Yeah. Do you both feel that you're each self-driven? I mean, in your own ways? And, you know, you work against your own clock, or are you... Okay, you can talk about your own styles.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, you know, there's always deadlines for school. So, you know, like, all right, I'm going to get this done, and then I spend 3 hours online doing nothing. And then it's the very last moment where I'll do my schoolwork. But in life, I'm very self-motivated. I love just, like, looking at a project online and being like, yeah, I could do that. In fact, I could make that better. Mm-hmm. I built a desk recently. That was quite a challenge. Woodworking, tools.
I discovered that, too, recently.
Yeah.
I built my wooden sculptures for my installation project.
Wow.
And I was like, I discovered like the good qualities of wood, because the better it was harder to drill through and all this other taking it apart, reassembling, and you should see the underside of that piece of wood by the time I was done.
Hey, so did you have your wood pre-cut?
No.
Oh, you cut it yourself?
Oh. Yeah.
Circle saw?
I got the big pieces pre-cut, but then...
Did you get them cut to the appropriate length, or did you have to make corrections?
No, yeah, I had to, yeah.
Yeah. I hate woodworking.
So is it how you figured it yourself, or was reading the how-to, or was it like directions?
I love the internet, man.
Yeah.
You don't know how to do something, you're like, oh, just look
there.
It up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a friend help me out, so I wasn't as on my own.
Yeah. You just have an idea, and you're like, I'm going to do it. Or sometimes, like, there's this blog I see. It's Design Sponge, I think. And this woman just has, like, hundreds of beautiful projects that she's completed. Or Life Hacker, really cool stuff. If it hadn't been for Life Hacker, I wouldn't have done a half dozen different things. Like, I installed Mac on my netbook. Like a Hackintosh.
Wow. Hackintosh.
And they give you step-by-step guidelines how to do it. You're just like, all right.
Hmm. Well, being in the right place can tell us all about that sometime.
It's a pain.
Oh.
Drive compatibility. It's just doesn't want to... I'm sure you've tried similar things.
No, I wouldn't attempt it. Get into drive is a big headache.
I wanted to ask Chloe if she's shown any of her films at campus and how it went, and if maybe Cerise has ever gone to any student film.
Subject
matter. Well, I started out mainly with narratives, and just, you know, my last quarter I went to experimental film, and I, you know, it was a tough adjustment at first, but then I grew to like it equally, I would say. Like, it definitely was a lot more compelling in a lot of ways. Maybe not so much visually. It's not as, like, aesthetically pleasing, or that's not the main focus. But the idea is, like, it would take me a really long time to come up with the concept behind, like, the form and concept working together as one.
Oh, it did take quite a while? Yeah, I noticed you had some similar themes to some of them.
I don't know if I had any of my experimental ones online.
What does that mean?
It's like a conceptual film more than just like the traditional narrative of having like an issue that your main character comes upon, and you know, they discover a character flaw in themselves, and then this particular instance makes them deal with that, and then you know the story evolves, and then they come to a resolution. Some sort of change happens. In a traditional one.
But you don't
right.
do that. That's
yeah, she does.
I do that.
She had three
like
of them like that.
I think she's understating her talent as with a brilliant future as a romantic comedy director.
comedy.
Well, it seemed like some of your work fits within the larger umbrella of romantic comedies, which are millions of people watch nothing but romantic comedies.
It's hard to find good romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially outside the zombie genre.
Oh, gosh.
My first ones, I think the first two were, I noticed that, I was like, well, they were just romantic films, it was always the guy and the girl, you know, some issue. But my latest one was actually just about the main guy and his issues with coming up with a new idea, which is also another common theme. Some of my experimental stuff, my video installation deals with identity, actually. And, you know, my name is Chloe, but my middle name is Yenling, and being called two different names, I thought was an interesting issue, because then it's, you know, who are you when you're, how do you act differently if you're called one thing versus another? And I kind of brought this idea, combined it with recording something and playing it back live, like your live interview, but really it's delayed. And so what I did was interview people about these two names that they had, and separated those out into two shots of their heads, and said that they're two separate people, put them onto bodies, then interviewed myself later, re-asking the questions, and put the body sculptures, those the wooden frames I was talking about before, in a circle around the table, and I timed it so that they were actually talking to each other, and people can sit down around the table and be talking. So I could be a sculptor right now, you could, and you could, and then you guys could walk up and quote-unquote interact by participating. And this is actually the one that I'm going to be showing kind of recently on, or soon, in San Francisco on the 21st.
Where would that be at?
The 111 Mina Gallery in San Francisco.
Oh, so it's interactive. You'll be showing it, you'll be there to be interviewed too? Or install it, or what do you call it?
Yeah, I'm going to install it, and it's interesting. It's actually a 20-minute loop with seven people I interview. And, it, you know, it's about 2 minutes, 3 minutes per person, and the point is that, you know, everyone has this kind of story that they feel torn between two people. They act differently around different people, and but I hope, I kind of want to interview more people and have this as an ongoing project, maybe, and keep adding to this loop. And so, although it seems like it's just interview after interview, it's throughout this long span of time.
And what's the dates for this again?
21st September.
October.
October.
21st. So about 30 days from today.
It'll just be that one night or day.
Right.
And what was the name? What is the name of it?
Live Interview.
Live Interview. I saw the one, I guess it's not experimental, it'll be the one of this, I don't know, but it's called Spider. And I was wondering if that had anything to do with the internet and lurking and things like that, because it had these blocks like you're just talking about, but I don't think it's what you're talking about.
It is interactive, you're right.
It is.
What I was trying to do was each block was actually representing one word. And I don't know if you noticed, but it had a period at the end of this series of blocks. And so that was kind of the hint. And then midway through, if that wasn't already obvious, the periods, I thought I would throw in a comma in the middle of the sentence to show, you know, first comma. And that was the combo of a series of words and images trying to show and act out like emotions or actions. And really, it was open to people, like, would substitute different words, but half the people, I'd say, got that concept, and then half didn't. The people that did, they got the idea of it, but, you know, had different interpretations of some of the words. So, I don't know, there's sentences like, I cried, for example. The first one would be, you know, close-up of the eye, and then the second one was her crying. And then another sentence, it would keep following, and that was a whole sentence showed up on one sequence, cut to a whole new fresh frame, another sentence, and it told a story in that way.
Then is if people can understand it the first time, then they just get that kind of, they enjoy that kind. It's more like a moder. It's, I don't know how you describe it. So the people who don't get it, what do you say to them? Or I don't know how you would know if they're getting it.
I mean, usually if I'm right there, they just say, you know, I didn't get that. And then I give them a little hint. But I found what was common was the comma when it came up. People were like, it was at that time, like, you know, halfway through. I was like, oh, I had the aha moment. And then they want to start over and watch it from the beginning.
Okay.
So is it like photography where, like, you see an image and like, everyone gets their own interpretation from it, and that's satisfying? Like, are you satisfied when people come up with their own things, or do you want them sort of to, like...
It's not really about me. Like, I know what it is, but it's just purely for them to just see what they got of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So, and you have... paintings, how many drawings have you done?
I don't know.
Do you think of yourself as an artist first? And have you, anyway, do you look at your movie making in an artistic way quite often?
I mean, it's really important to me. I think I spend a lot of time making it visually appealing.
So do you draw it out? Do you do panels? Before you
like storyboard? Yeah. I try to. I would say that, like, for most of my student projects, you know, I'll start off with the first page, and then I'll realize this is taking way too long. I just write everything out, like, what I need. And I kind of have it mapped out in my mind. It's just about writing it down to make sure I won't forget one of them.
So, like, when do you start the creative process? Like, how do you think about how each scene's going to look?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's that point, like, right about when I'm about, like, when I'm going to sleep, and I'm really frustrated, and it's that moment where I'm, like, drifting off but can't go to sleep, and I have this insomnia-ish session, and then it just comes to me, like, one little clip of something I like or that looks good in my mind, and I just write it down, and I usually have to sleep on it more, but that's the first step, and then it'll keep happening, you know, like, three times over, and then... I'll talk, like, it out with someone after, like, when it gets to a point where it's workable. And then, you know, bouncing ideas always helps. I'm not going to say that I came up with all these ideas just purely out of nowhere. Talking out is a huge help.
Yeah.
Where do you get your inspiration? Like, what are some, like, movies you really enjoy? Or, like, directors you're into?
Hard to say. I just watched this really... Okay, this is recent. This just pops up because I watched it last night. But Lars von Trier, he does Dancer in the Dark. So I just watched this documentary that he did, and he works with this filmmaker. I can't actually remember his name or pronounce it, is more like. But he made his favorite film, The Perfect Human. And so he comes up with this proposal that he has to remake this film from 1967 in five different ways, but there are obstructions, so he has a set of rules to each of these films he has to make. And, you know, the first one is he can only have 12 frames playing at once, and so each time he sidesteps all these obstructions, he even puts him in a socially dramatic situation where he's like, you know, someone could be dying on the ground and you have to act this out perfectly normal. And he sidesteps that by building this semi-transparent screen to separate him from the crowd. And he's in Bombay and everyone's surrounding. He's eating this platter of fish and nice, like, you know, lemon, squeezing lemon on it. And there he is eating it in a suit with all these starving people in the background. So, five times over. And it's called The Five Obstructions.
That was an inspiration for conceptual movies you're going to make?
Yeah, I mean, I just really like the idea. I don't want to give too much away about how it plays out with the third, fourth, and fifth.
Yeah.
But, I think it definitely made me think about new, just different ways of looking at things. But just anything new and different, I think, really helps me.
Mm-hmm.
But this was just one of your favorite things on your Facebook page. And it'll be interesting to see how many millions of new Facebook friends you get after our radio show tonight. Maybe 3 or 4 million free, would you say? Or was it 3 or 4.0?
guess they left those six zeros off the USB.
We're trying to see how many zeros we can add to some of our download statistics.
Okay. Now, what about the future? I mean, Santa Cruz isn't a mecca for filmmaking. Are you going to go to L.A. or?
You know, I'm not sure. L.A. or New York. I kind of want to check out New York, but I feel like, because I grew up in Santa Rosa, and I feel like, you know, staying in L.A., going to L.A. first might be like a stepping stone for me to New York, which is so much farther away. But I think I'm open. Like, right now, I'm just kind of staying in Santa Cruz because I have a job right now, and mm-hmm. I feel a little more stable, and I just kind of want
to... They're hard to find in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is one that I stuck with since the beginning of senior year, so I feel secure and comfortable there, and, you know, I'm just trying to pull in those side gigs from Craigslist here and mm-hmm. there, and when I get enough money where I can say, yeah, you know, I'm going to go to L.A., then, all right, maybe I'll look into it.
And how is it that you worked for the Sentinel, and why aren't you working more for them?
Oh, well, that's, you know, I think that their budget must be tight, too, and mm-hmm. I actually started out with an internship there. Winter quarter last year?
Paid or unpaid?
Unpaid.
Another unpaid internship.
Is that legal?
Yes, it is robbery.
Sorry.
Highway robbery. Okay. On the information superhighway.
But, yeah, I didn't even start out. I think I only did one video for them while I was on the internship. It was really loose. It was, you know, I could go and leave, and it was, I can even work from home sometimes. Mm-hmm. I did some web work. I just posted onto their photo blogs. It was minimal, like 10 hours a week, maybe.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No.
I mean, a lot of guys spend 10 hours a week drinking beer.
Don't you dare impugn my love of beer.
Yeah, it's not just a guy thing.
You ought to listen to Dennis' show then. He features a beer every show.
Yeah.
Can I recommend, it's a local brewery. It's called Uncommon Brew, and it's sold at New Leaf. It's called Siamese Twins. It's in a metal can. 9.75 alcohol content. So delicious.
Hear that, Uncle Dennis?
Call up Thursday night and recommend that to Dennis.
CLD Thursday?
Every week.
Oh, this is him?
Yeah, but
okay.
Monroe, Wisconsin has had a beer since just after World War II.
And Brew our of
announcement
the
of victories in World War II. So right around 1945, thereafter, in Monroe, Wisconsin, they started brewing beer called Simple Times. At 5%+ alcohol, it's a pilsner, a light pilsner.
Okay.
This is available at Trader Joe's for $3 a six pack.
Dennis may call in any moment.
That's 18 cans of beer for under $10.
How can you talk to me about simpler times? What are you? You're how old? Why are you drinking this beer?
Because 18 cans of beer for under $10, as long as it's cold, sounds pretty good to most hardworking people. However, I agree that it's not from a Boulder Creek or a Seabright-centric brewery. So there are some local beers, I understand, are hard to find.
We buy local here. We don't... None of this corporation.
Get your Black Dragon Style at the Surf Rider Cafe, folks.
Although I have to agree, some of these beers up here, like that Undercover, mm-hmm. really good. Have you tried that?
This is a connoisseur.
Yeah.
Never seen that one.
Place...
I can chime in with questions.
Plays music on Thursdays, because, and then he has Brew of the Week.
Brew of the Week?
Every Thursday night.
There's a date.
Opens it up.
What time?
Drinks it. 7 to 11. 8 to 11 on this
yeah, 8 to 11.
Station here.
There's a date of an event.
Put in a little plug for us. We are freakradio.org, 101.1 FM. If you're listening tonight, please call in and send beer. Send donations.
Money for beer. And a park for our transmitter. That
look, you have Siamese Twin right there.
Oh.
There we go.
Good eyes.
My silver can.
Oh, yeah. Where is it?
It's worth your $2.50. It's right there.
Oh, yeah. Siamese Twin name.
Sorry. The research department is ready to chime in.
All right.
The research department was given three topic areas to investigate. And one of
covered some of them.
One of them, a very prominent date this year, popped up in one of these topics. This March 4th, which was a Thursday. Does that ring a bell with anyone this year? 2010, March 4th was a Thursday. This is when students nationwide went just
unhinged, off the hook. We shut down highways. There were arrests. Everyone was just absolutely ripshit about tuition hikes and funding cuts. So, for example, there was a prominent arrest at UC Davis. I actually met one of the young ladies that was from the sorority at UC Davis, where one of their sorority sisters was arrested. She was here at Capitola Beach earlier in the summer. So I got a story there from the horse's mouth. But we would like a little bit of your perspective of what it was like at the sluggish campus on that day. Because we understand that you guys actually had some activity on that Thursday, Friday around March 4th.
We should have united with
Berkeley. This was before 420. This was before 420. So there might still be some memories, some fresh memories available from... there was some stories about it. There were some cars. There was a warning on the campus to avoid the campus that day.
When you said important date, I thought you were talking about November when we're going to vote over that one thing that's going to be legal or not legal.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
Were you there?
I wasn't there. I definitely heard the stories. I didn't go up to campus, though. Did you?
Well, you know, I can't say what I did or did not do.
Why were you on May 1st?
Legality of some of these issues. It wasn't as surprisingly large as you might have hoped for. There was maybe, you know, there was periods of time where we had like a couple hundred, maybe like 1,000 people. Mini 420, if you will. But it definitely... It wasn't as big as it was in Davis or at Berkeley or at LA. And that was disappointing. And, you know, it seems like so many of our fellow students are not a fan of the riding. They're like, why are you blocking me from campus? Like, I should be going to school and not wasting my money not going to class.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, like, someone's got to do it. It's the only way they're going to hear me.
Yeah.
So, I was definitely a fan. I don't know what your stance was or what your friends were thinking.
I wasn't against it. I supported it. I didn't go.
Then why didn't you go? Why?
I remember. I know that there was a good reason. I can't remember. I think that, I want to say that was finals week.
No.
It wasn't?
Nah.
That was editing my film. I remember I was pulling all-nighters for like 2 weeks straight.
Midnight Oil. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
It was a whole blank for that whole beginning March period, though.
But looking back,
there was a lot of violence and a lot of property destruction, I should say.
Yeah, well, it was definitely over the news. Like, they had the police. I know that a lot of students had gotten hurt, or specifically, I know that a couple students.
There was one
harassed.
Kid who was like hanging out, and this Prius drove over his foot. And then people were like, oh my gosh, you ran over this kid's foot. And they like beat the window and they broke the window. And then the Prius.
I think that was it.
That was pretty much the biggest incident that happened that day. I wasn't there for it. I don't get up that early. College. None of this 8 a.m. stuff.
There's some buildings were bumped into, and windows broken, and more than that.
The biggest issue was when we may or may not have taken Kerr Hall, which is the administrative center of campus. And it was actually pretty amusing. I was in class, and my TA was like, oh, yeah, if anyone's interested in taking over a building, I'll excuse you from class. And I'm like, peace! So he's like, oh, yeah, they're going over to, what's the where you pay your bills?
The Han.
Han Student Services. Yeah. They're like, I'm gonna take off versus Han. So I'm like, you know, biking over, trying to get to Han's. And because I bike, I'm like, down some cutty trail, and I run into like 200 students. And they're like, oh yeah, we just democratically decided to take over Kerr Hall instead. We're well organized. And they took the building, they allowed all the administrative faculty to leave, and then they broke into Blumenthal's office, and that was the big thing that really angered the school administration.
They broke in,
basically.
Mm-hmm.
But the school was claiming we did hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage that literally was not done. I can't say I was there.
But they collect extra insurance then.
Doesn't insurance rates go up in that your opportunity cost?
Yeah.
There's been charges, right?
There were charges made. A couple of kids were actually expelled. There was definitely some stuff that, yeah, there was a petition signed because some kids were kicked out of school. Twitter accounts were deleted.
Really? Sad.
Is there a student paper on this campus that
there's two, actually.
Some of the feelings about these issues?
Well, there's the lame one, and then there's the funny there's the funny one.
What's the lame one?
I don't know. No pointing fingers.
Oh, yeah. So,
I like my. Sorry.
Can you become a Facebook friend of the one that's not lame?
Yes, you can. You can actually join. I think it's 3 credits if you join.
Really? Is it more credits for the funny one or?
No, I think they're
all
equal. Do you?
I didn't know.
Newspaper preference.
Yeah, I know which one I don't read.
Is there a reason why?
One's obnoxious.
I've tried to read it. That's all I know. Yeah, a while ago. So.
Yeah. Do you have friends that would when making movies about such interactions like happened on March 4th that go to UCSC?
No, I think the classes are mainly geared towards, you know, narrative. Like, they'll name the classes, like, narrative film. Like, it's this documentary, and it's, you have to propose these ideas before going into class, and you kind of somewhat have them worked out. So I had a friend that did some work, actually, for City on the Hill. but he just did a video. So he just went around whatever they asked him to do, or an event, and he would turn it in.
Did you ever work with SCTV, or how do you feel about them?
I was about to actually participate in that, and then that's when I started to become really active in doing all my film classes.
Oh, wow.
I have a lot of friends, actually, that were a big part of that. I'm not sure. I like that anyone can, you know, put their work in and air that at any time. I actually have to say I didn't watch, you know, their shows all that much. I saw, you know, a couple, and I had friends that actually produced some of them. And, yeah, I had a lot of friends that were a part of it, so I'm not sure. I wasn't too much a part of it.
I really like the documentary screenings on campus. Like, sometimes they'll have the classes, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, we're going to show some movies, and they have the Facebook invite.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. But I never, like, it's never well advertised enough for me.
Yeah,
they're really not. I guess I feel like I know a lot about it, but that's just because I was part of that, the crowd, and everyone was like, hey, I'm going to be over here filming this event, and it's going to be airing, you know, I'm making my show, so.
Yeah, see, not in the department, I just know a few people, and they'll be like, oh yeah, here's an invite to my, like, thing, and you know, it's like 2 hours worth of, like, really cool student-made stuff.
They also have work, like, at the Barn, you know, the Barn TV.
Oh yeah, the Barn, yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of media coverage, different groups covering that, and they work a lot of hours there, actually. My first roommate actually dedicated, like, every single day. She'd go there and make these orders. They'd go around and find different events throughout the community and try to cover that. And it really, not a lot of people even knew about that.
I feel like the thing is on campus, you know, there's 17,000 of us, and we're each, you know, we're each interested in something passionately, and we're trying to, like, get other people involved, and there's so much stuff, you just never hear about it. It just gets lost.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like sand crews on a smaller scale. It's like, what do you choose to do? There's always something going on at the same time.
Yeah.
You have some other choice to make, some other event. Many didn't even hear about it until you see the poster the next day.
You don't think Santa Cruz is too small? Because I hear that all the time. Like, oh, there's nothing ever to do in Santa Cruz.
There's less to
They close down the... Yeah, downtown it closes too early.
2 a.m. too early?
Oh, the bars. Oh. Yeah, which ones do you like? I don't know.
Which bars I like? So.
Wait, we can't do commercial recommendations, remember?
Yeah.
No plugs?
No plugs.
Oh!
It's in the bylaws somewhere.
There's the one where they don't serve any hard liquor. Mm-hmm. That one's tight.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Let's see. I like places that are upstairs and associated with color red. Also, there's some bodies of water
where, hipster.
Where the water might be blue. And some places where you might be motivated to dance.
Okay, then.
So you... Yeah, hey, you've got the dress code. You're wearing the collared shirt. You could get in.
Now is the time when we dance.
Cut to the dance music. I don't know, I'm just kidding. So, you have another 2 quarters to go. And what are your plans, young one?
Young one. Grasshopper. I'm studying not so diligently for my LSAT. Undiligently, if you will. With the hopes of, you know, going to college for more years. Deferring the real world for as long as possible. And enjoying mm-hmm. Santa Cruz.
What's your major?
I'm a double right now in economics and Asia and the Islamic world history.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So clearly every Hispanic girl needs to know something about the Islamic world.
Clearly.
Well, like history, I don't know much Islamic history.
It's random. Some of the professors are really good. The ones who are motivated, like who are passionate about what they're teaching, you think they'd all be passionate about what they're teaching, but there's some who are it just like shines through.
Yeah.
And those are the ones who can kind of sweep you into their field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's been your experience.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I had one teacher in particular where it was like he was always trying to help, and you could see it. And he is a film, one of my film teachers, and he'd always try to help and talk it out with me, like go out of his way. He commutes from San Francisco every day to class, and you know he gives us everyone his cell phone number. Here, like call me if you need help. And it just felt really good to know that, you know, there's someone there to help you out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely... Have you noticed the cult around certain teachers, like the following? Mm-hmm. Like, in the history department, everyone is a groupie for Lazar. Or, like, in the classics department, they're a groupie for Jennifer Lynn, who is a baller. Or, yeah, I just did a plug. I broke the rules.
Ah. We won't tell.
Where's the riding crop?
I didn't sign anything. Yeah, what are you gonna do? No,
so you also do
it was
economics.
Not intentional.
have they taught you in economics what caused our current economic disaster?
Other
than Bush.
Other than Bush.
You know, we never actually talk about Bush, really. We talk about Greenspan.
Uh-huh.
A lot.
Yeah.
Greenspan is...
I mean the security marketing class, okay, of course.
Oh, Bernie?
Yes.
The man. Another man. Sorry.
Yeah?
I agree. At a certain point, I was like, I want to cast him in one of my movies.
Best laugh ever.
Great voice.
Maybe she'll be in one of your movies.
Sorry to interrupt.
No. We didn't actually do a lot of current events. Like, all those accounting classes that I took, it was all about, like, here, memorize this, memorize that format. Only some of those, like, really, like, core requirements, I guess you call them, that's, like, when we were required to bring in current events or talk about issues that were happening now. But otherwise, like, I actually didn't talk a lot about anything that's going on.
L-Bomb never ranted?
No, that's the only class, like, that, the non-accounting classes.
Yeah.
But I took so many accounting classes.
Sucker.
Yeah.
Oh, and wait, now you could do something, though, with your life.
No.
You could be like, oh, this film thing, I got an accounting degree. I'm set.
The thing is like, beginning of my last year, I was like, why am I doing so many accounting classes when I don't think I'm going to be an accountant? So I stopped the accounting, so I took all those years of accounting, only to realize, you know, hey, am I going to be an accountant?
Uh-huh.
So you get math, like, almost comparable to film, like, where... Like, if you're, like, a 9 or a 10 at film, are you, like, a 7 or 8 at math since you took all those accounting classes?
I definitely enjoy math, but I wouldn't say, like, applying it is something different. Like, give me a problem, like, I enjoy solving that, you know, saying, oh, yeah, I got the right answer. But I think, like, applying all of that to economics is not, like,
So it's two different things.
It's like, just really different.
Art and math. Like, you love them both. That's...
Jace. Yeah, Renaissance woman. Yeah.
And they're both a visual part of the brain, though, too.
Really?
Yeah. Math.
Well, they say art and music are a lot alike. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the art part was.
Music and language.
Did I say music and math? That's what I mean.
There's a lot of math in music. Usually music is sequential and art is all at once. It's generally right side math and visual and left side music.
You are an art major.
No, I just know a lot about art.
Well, practically.
How do you guys feel about college educations? Education, non-education?
The one I almost got.
You have a degree, right?
School of Life.
Yeah, I learned more in the School of Life when I was attended Arizona State.
A party school.
Quite a party school. It's a great medical, pre-medical department, too. I didn't take that, but I had a great music department. I had music therapy and jazz department.
Is that what you started out in, since you have a music show?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
She still takes classes at Cabrillo occasionally.
Well, yeah, not right recently. I can't find any place to park. My God.
Bicycle.
Yeah, I ride a bike when I can. Injuring myself or something, but I could never decide what can you make money doing. I mean, so I've made money doing everything. would have been smarter to become an accountant, I guess. But
that's the easy way.
I don't
way.
Think I could do that.
And I feel like being an accountant, like, what does that get you? That gets you, like, $100K a year, steady? Like,
there's always a need for it, yeah.
I recently read an article that said that the happiness level doesn't increase past $70,000 a year. Like, that's it.
Oh.
I don't know.
Because you spend the rest on, I don't know, getting speeding tickets. I mean, your mozzarella here or something.
I actually saw Larry Ellison one time, because he's Oracles in San Carlos, and he was in a Saline 7. And we got on the 280, and he just blitzed. It's pretty cool. That car goes 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds.
Well, I do appreciate that ability to get away.
You run from the cops often?
Now who's interviewing who? Yeah. Wait. I did tell a policeman one time, I'm ready to go to jail. You're willing to take me. He didn't know what to do with me. So.
Well, I guess this is free radio in defiance of...
Well, I mean, some arrests...
In defiance?
Some arrests are a badge of honor. This goes back to, what, Sacco and Vanzetti? Most recently, it's probably the corruption on steroids scandal in Los Angeles, where the entire city council was found to be so corrupt, they had to invent a new phrase called corruption on steroids, and that was
just announced today, wasn't it?
And then they slammed the city council in jail because of the corruption on steroids scandal.
Really? No way?
This was announced today in the news.
Why can't we do that in this town?
Actually, the it might have been a test case, because the case in this town might actually be stronger. So it may be that the first, you know, if you're firing both barrels, it could be, you know, where's the second barrel going to fire?
So, wait, we have a corrupt city council?
No, I'm just being facetious.
Well, there's a lot of history. There's a lot of history. And one of the first tests is when the elected officials fail to know the history of their jurisdiction. This is usually a warning sign, or indicator, a tell, that there might be a problem.
It's a good old boy network here.
Yeah.
And the police in the 80s were indicted for beating up homeless and then shaking down the merchants to pay for it. Oh.
And even Jon Stewart on the Comedy Channel, there was an occasion earlier, 2002, 2003, when the shenanigans in the Santa Cruz City Council made it into the national news on The Daily Show? The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Now, police department, that's another story. We had a lawsuit against one officer with several women who complained about his use of authority and power and I don't know, they accused him of rape, but along those lines, a couple of people, a couple of the women.
I have a question for you, Chloe. Have you seen Crash?
I have. You know, actually, I saw that my first class coming into UCSC about, I think, four times. I'm serious. They made us watch it and watch it again and write paper about it and watch it again. And that was, you know, for, I think we studied that film for like half the first quarter.
Overrated?
It was.
Not overrated?
I already thought. Yes, it is.
Do we know about this? What's this, Crash?
Well,
it's a multi-character story following different sets, like, I can't remember, like a few pairs of people, and that they eventually, quote-unquote, crash into each other's lives through different racial setups.
Yeah, but the initial...
Yeah,
the initial setup is it's a black woman and a black man in a car, very well off, and they're driving, and the officer...
Cop, right. When a UFO tractor beams through car... Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was on the East Coast back in the 60s.
Okay.
You've done too much LSD.
Yeah, he doesn't remember that.
We just do research. In the research department, we do research.
Okay, we know what we're doing...
The show is part of his therapy.
Einstein said two things. Don't be simplistic. And if we knew what we were doing, we wouldn't call it research.
Hey, since you're such an avid Simpler Times fan, where's my...
We can look at the science and history of wine and beer tasting. The research department can be tasked with this mission. Yeah.
Is this an unpaid appearance? Is this kind of like an unpaid internship?
Oh, my God.
Actually, we have to pay to be here.
we have more topics and research
and
prepared.
And we're looking for new disc jockeys.
Yes, this is free radio, so call in with your desire to be on and to be a DJ and to send any kind of input or donations to...
You don't pay your dues, you will get kicked off and there'll be new openings.
And if you'd like to send donations, you can mail them or you can PayPal them.
Where's that to?
It's freakradio.org. Get all the information there. The P.O. Box is 7811 Santa Cruz.
We're planning a benefit soon, too.
Mm-hmm. There may be a benefit at Chavez House coming up next month. You can buy a dinner there.
Is this vegetarian?
Yeah, I think so.
It's all vegan.
Are you vegetarian?
No, I like my protein.
Other drinks. And,
well,
yeah.
Maybe they'll have some meat there, too.
So I don't know.
We're flexible.
How do you do the vegetarian thing? Like, aren't you hungry at the end of the day?
Yeah, sure.
I'm fine. I drink milk. I'm not a vegan.
Okay.
I don't drink milk.
Okay. I just get really hungry.
Soy milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the moral
issue. Oh. Right. Yeah. Are you a vegetarian? Anybody else?
Nope.
No. Very few. Unless there's anarchists in the room.
Are anarchists largely vegetarian? Is that like
vegan,
a...
I think.
Really?
I'm not an expert on anarchists.
Oh, yeah, there's
Where do they congregate? Like, how do you...
Sub Rosa.
Yeah, there's a place down the street here. It's called Sub Rosa Cafe.
They're very upset that they don't have dairy cream there. They use soy cream.
It's where there's no one really in charge, but they all talk about it, you know, together.
So how do you get drinks? Like, how do you...
They have coffee there, and I think...
How do you get them?
Yeah, how did the anarchists handle the, like, ordering, purchasing?
Yeah.
Well, there's all kinds of anarchists.
Is it automated?
High-functioning anarchists, low-functioning anarchists. Kind of like the zombie demographics.
Zombie anarchists.
By the way, since you make films, have you ever seen the one... Oh, I could tell you. She's from L.A., and she made this movie. It's called American Zombie. And it's really innovative. It's on Hulu.com right now.
I actually haven't. I should check that.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's very cleverly written. It's about an hour and 35 minutes. I found it by accident.
What is it about exactly?
Well, she made it about the presumably really hot topic of zombie culture, that, and she incorporated artistic or even homeless and just different kinds of people that could be considered zombies just because they're different, but they're high functioning zombies.
Wait, so
but it's a very deadpan approach.
It's documentary. Okay.
It's a fictitious documentary.
Okay.
Yeah. Mockumentary.
Mockumentary.
It was quite droll.
Oh.
Very. I don't know. You might like her approach. She's in it too.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm interested to see it actually. Now that you're. Yeah, talking about this. I don't know. It's interesting. Bringing the fiction into documentaries, I think that's interesting. Like how if you took something and shot it like it was a documentary, but really it's this fake story.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you should know. This is really important. And really it's just...
They talk about how they did it. Yeah. I had a partner and he said, we're going to do it this way. No, we're not having storyboards. And definitely not or something. That one, I think, talks about storyboards versus not storyboards. Or something.
Oh, yeah. Like the... coming up with the ideas more whimsically and having a little lot looser versus step by step. There's like a,
yeah.
Actually, I can't remember his name, but there's an artist that's really neat. He uses the same actors over and over again, but he doesn't have anything planned out, like any of the shots, nothing, feature length films, and he goes in with just this very vague idea about what's going to happen, and he kind of just walks with them, and, oh, here's the next shot, now here it is, and then they just piece it together afterwards.
It could have been done that way. It seems like it is done that way, but I think they might have planned that they were going to do it that way. I don't know. Falls together really well and has some odd characters in it.
Well, thanks for the recommendation.
I like that. So what are your favorite movies over there, Cerise?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I've...
There's... my favorite films. You know what? I have a favorite film that none of my friends will watch. Not a single one, because it's old. It's like really old. It's called Scaramouche. It's got the longest fencing scene of all time. Huh. I like old films.
Me too.
Very old films.
This one's a famous one. I was just talking about it. Sunset Boulevard. Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh man, you should see that. It's really neat because it's about the transition between silent film era into the talkie time. And the star, I forget what her name is, I don't know how I forget, but anyway, she was a star of the silent era, and she plays, and this is a talkie, it has dialogue and sound, and she plays this aging actress who still thinks she's got all these fans, and so it's neat how you see a true silent film star transitioning into this star passing away, and the acting is great. I don't know, it's beautifully done.
Well, what frustrates... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, the name of it again?
Sunset Boulevard.
Okay.
What frustrates me about a lot of older films is that, you hear about older films because, they're part of the lore of Hollywood. This is a classic. And then you watch the classic, and you're like, man, that was weak. Like, a Star is Born with...
I haven't seen that one.
The original?
With Judy Garland.
Yeah.
I wanted to kill myself halfway through it. Eve, it's the first film that Marilyn Monroe appeared in. It won, like, 4 Academy Awards. I want to kill myself. There's a Clark Gable, In the Heat of the Night, I think is what it's called. Oh, my God, not funny. Not cool. But a lot of these, like, classics, like Dr. Zhivago. It does for the snow what Lawrence of Arabia does for the sand. Again, not great.
Have you seen... Okay, Marilyn was actually in this All About Eve.
The All About Eve is the film I hate.
Really? Why? What about it?
Well, so tedious.
The Oscars must have had some really bad years. Right? You can't expect to have the same outstanding.
Well, when Shakespeare in Love beat Saving Private Ryan.
Huh?
You remember this?
Oh, I did.
I like that film.
I like Shakespeare in Love.
It's been a while, but yeah, I remember.
But
was that for special effects or sexual sound effects or?
Well, there's also Saving Private Ryan's Privates, I think, but that's that's a blockbuster in and of itself.
Larry Flint's Saving Ryan's Privates.
You know, they come up with some creative names. There's this video game. It's extremely popular. It's Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and they just came out with a porno titled Call of Booty Modern Warfare.
Someone's working overtime somewhere.
It came up on Reddit. I thought it was funny.
You all have so much time.
Well, you know, I have to procrastinate my homework somehow. Yeah, push those deadlines.
Are you getting all this out there, Chris, on Unbroken Chain Radio? We're also on being broadcast on there too.
Oh gosh.
And he's a good sport. I like him. Maybe it's another internet radio show.
Cool.
And, so did you find any music that you recommend for people to use in their documentaries, or did you come to love any kind of music from doing documentaries and doing films? And
I haven't really done like that many documentaries. I mean, the first thing I got to make from being in Santa Cruz wasn't in the film department, and it was through actually community studies.
Okay.
And that was the only documentary that I've made, and that was on that student housing situation. But I don't know, music wise I try to work with my friends who do their own music.
Okay.
But I mean, usually it comes down to it, like by the time I'm done, it's I do take copyrighted music and use them, and just whatever, you know, works and gets it to a presentable state. And a lot of them I want to have, you know, I have a few people in mind that I want them to work with and make up something that really does fit, but I haven't gotten around to it yet, and I plan on doing it.
Mainly original music, and also you get permission to use all the other ones. No.
Okay.
She doesn't post on YouTube.
Okay.
I'm not getting any profits out of any of my work, so I don't think that they should have an issue with it.
Yeah. Yeah, huh? Yeah, that's interesting, too.
Creative Commons.
I know. Once you have all these artists, ASCAP and BMI, they always have some problem with you using their music because you haven't paid their royalties. That came up a few times.
Oh, really?
Over the internet, they had an open mic out at Rocky's Cafe, and they had to shut them down because they were playing all cover music and then putting it out all over the internet, and then you owe us $40,000. So they, instead of paying us, unless you just stop doing it.
We could probably call up on the Metro Center for playing music all the time. I'm sure they're not paying BMI.
They're not using anything that anybody would wonder if it's even copyrighted anymore. It's like over 50 years old, probably.
That's why they play classical.
So it's in the public domain.
I still don't understand how you liked All About Eve. It was so long.
I really liked that actress. I don't know. I thought she was really had a strong presence, and I thought that she delivered everything really well. I didn't think it was too tedious. I remember it being long, but I don't remember having to drag through it. Go ahead.
What I can say that was positive about it is that it was like, at least it was a strong female lead who didn't get screwed at the end of it. I'm so used to like Anna Karenina, where she gets, you know, right. And I'm not gonna spoil it, or like Gone with the Wind, she gets, you know, in the end screwed, like.
But with her character the whole time, I'm like, do you ever ask yourself, like, why? How many times do you ask yourself why? Like, all the things that she was doing, like, it doesn't...
She's cutthroat. She's getting ahead, making a dollar.
Was she undead?
You're pretty pale back then.
Are you on the, you know, how, like, originally it was pirates that were cool, and then there was, like, ninjas who were cool, and now zombies are cool, so you're on the bandwagon?
Only Australian zombies.
No. I think the queue of American warriors that have not yet been awarded medals of honor because their exploits are still deeply classified, and even though the time for classification has expired, all their exploits are still classified. I find those to be the most interesting stories. And I'm told that there is even to answer your previous question about schools and colleges and all that, just so you understand where I'm coming from,
there is a school better than Caltech, but it's not on the East Coast. It's actually near Pasadena, and a professor there who crossed over to the other side a few years ago named Peter F. Drucker. He's probably one of the world's most highly respected gurus in management science, and the last bomb he dropped on the establishment was the conjecture, the assertion, that's really, it's a bulletproof argument for people that know the facts. He asserts that during World War II, the American Research University was successful. And the evidence of that is clear. When you look at radar, Dr. Manhattan's Manhattan Project, whatever you want to call it. But since then, his thesis was that the American research community has been an utter failure. Now, everyone in the academic ivory tower establishment will defend it and try to shoot that argument down. But just think of all the problems that we're dealing with around the world today and ask yourself, why are these problems still here if World War II ended in 1945 and we've still had a high-quality research establishment? No. If we had had a research establishment in the American Research University system that had been as successful after World War II as it was during World War II. I mean, we had victory in less than 5 years in World War II, depending on how you count it. But clearly, there has been a chronic neglect, a chronic perpetuation of systemic flaws and dysfunctions, decade after decade, generation after generation, until we are now having, you know, a constitutional crisis. We replace one incumbency with another, and they're equally dysfunctional. So I lost faith in the university system a long, long time ago, although there are still some people that try to work within the system, and they use the old excuse, if you can't beat them, join them, then beat them. But they tried that at Singularity University, and then they found another scandal. You know, so I mean, it's just...
Okay, we're going to get the hook.
Okay. It's better in Australia, and it's the only booming economy, and Australia fixed all its economic problems last year.
Get out of here.
And there's a world... If you type in World Factbook Australia, you'll find
really
out...
Okay, we're up for debate for that.
Thing, speaking of research in college, what did they teach you about economy? Why is our economy so bad now? What can we do about it? Did you study macroeconomics at all?
Yeah, what's the latest trend?
It's a big world. You can't ask me a vague question like that.
They actually didn't have any... It was more just about what's going on, what did you find interesting? Here, share a story, you know? And it was more like an open discussion of just, oh, here's something random I found about the economy today. And most of my teachers didn't have a strong opinion about it, except for Bernie.
Yeah.
But it was more like a lecture, an ongoing sort of, this is how I feel about this topic we're talking about, and he elaborates. But I think that's the only class where I've had that.
Well, it's been really interesting for me because I started out, you know, freshman year, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be an econ major and, you know, do this other stuff. And you've seen how you went from the subprime mortgage crisis that, okay, this is 2008. I go to UCSC and I tell my housemate, we're in this class together. She has to pick a project. I'm like, oh, look at the subprime mortgage market. She's like, what's that? She had no idea. This is 2008. Okay, this thing had been going on for like a year at this point. And so, I mean, it's really hard to follow the current economic crisis because it stretches so far back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a series of, like, one big crisis. It's not like the Depression where it's this one big thing. It's a series of small things that have happened. Yeah. By small, I mean,
little fissures,
you know,
in the dam.
Exactly.
Well, they're interrelated. I mean, the subprime mortgages, they're basically junk mortgages. They bundled together a bunch of debt. And a lot of it was junk. It was the same technique used by Milliken back with bonds in the 80s. I mean, the same kind of things happen over and over and again in the economy. The Depression in the 30s is very similar to ours. They had globalization just before the 30s.
I mean, there's Minsky. Herman Minsky is one of the founders of, like, this concept of economic crisis as a cause of people investing in the stock market. Like, you have a flux of new investors in the stock market who are uneducated. And that's really the big problem. You have people who aren't educated and who are just like, let's get on the bandwagon. Once you have Bernie says this, once you have soccer moms who are trading stock tips on
time
the
to
soccer
sell.
Field.
Instead of gunshots.
Yeah, that's enough.
It's the bigger sucker. Yeah, they're the biggest sucker. The end of the sucker line.
that's when you want to get out. And that's, you know, it's when Warren Buffet's already out.
Yeah.
Buffet. Yeah. It's a short term. It's invest in the short term and get out quickly.
Uh-huh. But there's also a fundamentals behind it. I mean, it's a supply and demand still. Mm-hmm. We have higher productivity, but wages haven't fallen. I mean, you're entering the job markets. In the 50s, like he says, times past, you would have looked at good money. You could buy a house with it. Nowadays, I mean, the opportunities are much less.
Well, it's you know, I have a friend whose father is, he deals with China a lot. He's always going to, like, the Guangdong province. And
mm-hmm.
And he was saying that the real big issue with America is that we've moved all our jobs overseas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And talking to him, we spent like an hour just sitting there arguing. And I was like, I don't always agree with you, but I want to buy local now. I want to buy products that are made in the United States
mm-hmm.
because
uh-huh.
we're a nation of epicures and like middle class people. And I don't know, there's not enough jobs for everyone. There's not enough
That's right.
jobs for engineers, and
they don't pay as well as they should. I mean, there's some very good jobs going over there. It used
no,
to be
they
just
pay as well as they should, but that's because there's other guys in India willing
right.
to pay.
Oh, yeah, it's a market, right? Yeah, yeah, because their cost of living is so much lower there.
Yeah,
they can work for much cheaper.
So it's that whole globalization issue, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
But yeah, I mean, it's just it's too big of an issue to like sit here and really parse out. You'd have to argue about a multitude of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Well, it's politicized, too. Economics isn't just a plain old science. It's political because a certain class is making money off everyone else.
Yeah, but the zombies are still going to rule and win. So this is all... This
I guess
is
you could
Will
call
Smith.
A corporation a zombie because
yeah,
it never
still
dies.
Will Smith.
But study the zombies in the higher corporation level.
And what exactly do you mean by that?
Is I am legend.
And the undead say about this what?
Well, I believe Will Smith finds a cure and gives it to the people who are kind of zombie vampires, and then we survive. I haven't watched the film.
Does Blade know about this? Wesley Snipes, Blade 1, 2, and 3? We need more Blades, that's for sure. Did Van Helsing have more sequels planned? I still don't see how this fits into the post-petroleum future.
Well, anyways, they threw $2 trillion to $10 trillion into the bank to bail out the banks, a little jubilee for the banks, but they haven't changed the fundamentals. That's going to give us a little lift here, but...
It's funny, because when you say fundamentals, I think of something different. Because fundamentals, to me, are like, you have like the fundamental of a stock is how much the stock is like valued at. And one of the things with the current crisis is that we didn't understand the true value of the fundamentals mm-hmm. of these companies. So that's... When you say that, I get... kind of confused almost.
Well, there's a technical. People
yeah.
buy it because it's going up in price, but that has nothing to do with the fundamental value of it. The
and
cost
that was
of
one
production.
Of the things that, again, went on in the Depression. You had a lot of tech stocks coming in. You had PG&E, you had GE, you had mm-hmm. a lot of, excuse me, not PG&E, you had GE coming in with a lot of different products. And no one knew how to price those.
Mm-hmm. Well,
RCA,
it was
the
same.
The corporate criminals
debt.
Try to make it all confusing anyway.
Absolutely. But that was the whole thing with bundling those, you know, the derivatives and everything. No one can value them correctly.
Well, just look at all the fine print in your financial transactions with credit card
mm-hmm.
companies. I mean, it's amazing given what the Congress did to undo all the financial protections to prevent another Great Depression.
Class Steagall.
They undid all that.
Deregulation is a lot of it. And yeah. that, again, is the right. Again, Reaganomics. Started back then.
So I have a question for you gentlemen. My dad says that before they deregulated the airlines, you know, flying in airplanes was swank, and they only hired the most attractive of women. Is this true?
Oh, the good old days?
It was expensive.
I actually had an old Harvard buddy, and he got very close to marrying a knockout from American Airlines, which used to be an on-time machine, by the way.
Well, they had qualifications. Their weight had to be certain. They had to be certain height, weight, and...
Yes, it was regulated, right. But it was very expensive, too. They deregulated, it got cheaper, but then airlines, the reason they were regulated in the first place is because it's a boom-bust cycle.
But was there any abuse of the auditions process for these airline employees? I mean...
It wasn't like Hooters. They didn't have a camera in the...
I think you had to be heterosexual.
Or are counters... Were there any stewardess counters we don't know about? I'd like to see calendars of all the hottest waves, wasps, and wax that we had from World War II. I mean, there were women. There were women cosmonauts ready to be shot up into orbit. You know, I mean, you know, this is just history that, you know, no one has the patience for because they don't care about anything. Why? Because we're not yet in the post-petroleum future.
You just got to tell history in a more interesting fashion. Cut out all the boring crap.
Yeah. It bored me in school, but I've been studying it lately. I totally like it.
Yeah. If you get a chance, there's a two-part series called Assume the Position by Robert Wool. It's very funny. It's kind of hard to find, but it's very funny. And he cuts out all the boring stuff.
Should we read Guns, Steel, and Germs?
Oh, you socialist, you.
What about Freakonomics 1 and 2? Didn't that try to cut through all the worst of the Nobel Prizes for Economics and try to get to just the high-quality economics work that was ignored by the Nobel Prize Committee for Economics?
Yeah. Another good book is David Landis. He writes... I don't remember the name of the book.
Peter Wolf sounds familiar, too.
But if you like Guns, Germs, and Steels, Landis has a book that's similar and very good as well.
All right. I want to give Chloe a chance to state anything she'd like to say. I think because we want to get a feeling if you would like to say anything to people that might be considering going to UCSC and studying film and studying digital media, and what would you tell them?
Definitely take a screenwriting class. Before you try to do anything else, and then take the intro class, and then see if you like it. I feel like screenwriting was probably the most important class I had to take, just to get that background.
Okay, and then you would also, I'll repeat what you did and study economics again, and get economics and...
Oh, business management.
And business management.
And economics.
You're glad you did that.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad that you could come and we had a lot of interesting, diverse viewpoints going on, and I'm really glad we were able to do that. And anybody else have anything they want to say? We had this. I'm kind of at the end of the show here, and if you'd like to call in any last comments, please do. You can call 469-3119 or 427-3772 and talk to any one of our willing staff.
What was that number again?
427-3772.
And yes. if we don't have any callers, I'm happy to keep slogging through the trenches of the research department here and put more crud on the table.
Okay, well, we'll trudge through that until 10 o'clock when Fun in the Oven returns with DJ Bryant. I think he was also a UCSC slug.
Yeah, I think he's an anarchist, too. We'll have to find out if he's a vegetarian or not.
He has a
Let's pull the anarchists. Do you think they have, cell phones?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Any anarchists out there, cell phones?
I just want to know if they have any special languages for texting, because I know a lot of women are trying to find new words to describe what they did last night, and I've looked into... Well, the research department's looked into this for months. Because
what happens when push comes to shove, and you want to do your thing, and other people want their thing done to you? Well, you become an outlaw. This is called Desperado Blues.
I ain't no outlaw. Ain't no thief. My spirit's willing, but these habits, they run deep. I ain't the bad guy. I didn't shoot anyone, but you got me running like the last Wild West outlaw. You got hiding in the shadows. Been a long, long time since I've seen the sun. I ride by night like an outlaw. Wanted dead or alive for having too much.